Hello, this is World Through the Heart, a podcast by Tatiana Andrusov, a lady who for more than half a century worked for the United Nations system and organizations associated with the United Nations, a lady who has lived on four continents among the rich, the poor, and the in-between, and who understands that most things happen to us humans because of others and ourselves, and how we care or do not care for each other. Let us meet her.
Hello, the world through the heart. This year, the United Nations. With our virus, with our lockdowns, our demonstrations against injustice, it has, except for a few, been forgotten that this is the 75th anniversary of that imperfect international system, one that I often call the Motley Crue. But before I start on that, let me tell you about myself and why I'm interested in the world. I came to the States in 1956 with the Cold War, with a Russian name, with James Bond, with Russia from Love. I was the incarnation of the enemy, and I did better in school than my classmates, skipped a grade. The first thing I remember from television evening news in the fall that year was the revolt in Hungary, the demonstrations being there, the demonstrators chased by tanks, the people running from overwhelming force. My mother worked, and an only child, I came home and turned on that television set and saw something completely different from what was shown on the news in the evening. Channel 13 in New Jersey, a public channel, was broadcasting the UN and UN debates with Henry Cabot Lodge, our representative in the World Organization. Suave, handsome, articulate, with our point of view, challenging his Soviet counterpart in a strong but incredibly polite, civilized manner. There was no fighting there, and this was the time of fear of nuclear weapons, of real fear of total destruction. And guess what? That was the day I decided I would do everything to get into that kind of gathering.
Can you tell us how the United Nations started?
Let me start by continuing with the UN when I arrived in the States. The administration at that time was a Republican administration with President Eisenhower. But President Eisenhower had been our top military commander in the European theater in World War II. He had seen the destruction of a world war. He knew world wars had to be prevented. As did the man who gave the name to the organization, to the United Nations, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a Democrat. He and Churchill, the British Prime Minister, had met aboard a ship during the middle of the World War II in 1942 and created what was called the Atlantic Charter. They were going to try to prevent another war. It was the beginning of the idea for that international organization, and that is how the Charter of the United Nations begins. We, the people of the United Nations, to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind. And remember, or read, there had been a World War I from 1914 until 1918.
So what happened?
Well, over 1,000 people met starting in April 1945 to draw up that charter. And guess where they met? In America. In San Francisco. In a way, an easy pick, because all the capitals in Europe were actually in a horrible state at that time. If not bombed and full of rubble, suffering from all kinds of food shortages. Hey, that is almost easy for us to understand now, that we have experienced shortages because of COVID-19. Besides, there is a human reason. Want to laugh? How about how easy it would be to spy on everyone who came? Well, we, Franklin, wanted to be able to spy on the Soviets and everyone else. Obviously, we were spied on too, but we had the advantage of being on our own soil with added means.
So how did that conference go?
Obviously, we got a charter, otherwise I would not have quoted from it. But Roosevelt, poor man, did not live to see the signing of it on June 26, 1945, by 50 countries. He had died in April, the same month the conference to create the organization had started. So the delegates met in Muir Woods on an island off San Francisco to honor him in May. I've been there among its giant sequoias and cried, and my voice is probably crying again. You see, my papa, who started World War II as a soldier in the Soviet army, was taken as prisoner of war by the Nazis, managed to escape from them, and wound up in our American Third Army, the one headed by Patton. Remember, the two countries, the U.S. and the Soviet Union, were allies fighting the Nazis, who were bent on conquering the world and ruling the world, and had enslaved and killed at least 6 million people they considered inferior, mostly Jews, but also Gypsies, Slavs, and others, including those they considered imperfect. But that war of liberation was an incredibly destructive war, one that led to the death of at least 70 million people. That is about 3% of the circa 2.3 billion people on our planet at that time. Put that in today's terms, with about 7.8 billion people, that would mean at least 230 million people. We see, we fought not to be enslaved, and we signed on to the Charter of the UN to be human to each other, to have a heart.
Have we achieved that?
No, but we've made that into an international goal. And the United Nations serves a need. We and all other countries need to have a place to bring up various concerns, proposals, and politely scream at other sides. This was done in the 50s and the 60s. The most important thing is that we did not have the atomic war we feared. That civil, polite screaming did help. We will go into that as we progress on this 75th anniversary. The big official day will be on October 24, it was in 45, when enough countries ratified the charter. That is, had their governments agreed to establishing a United Nations organization, and the organization was born. Next time, however, I'll tell you about a 21-year-old who in 1969 wound up having access to the 38th floor of the UN Secretariat, the Secretary General's floor, and that of our own Ralph Bunche, great man who played a key role in the formative years of the organization, received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1950, an African-American whom we should all know and honor.
Thank you, Tatiana. Can you also tell us about your book?
I have a book that deals with Africa, with an American girl who works for the United Nations in Africa. It was the first book I published when I turned 72. It's called Choices. So I hope that you will get it and read it, because it shows the motley crew of the United Nations at work.
Thank you, Tatiana. And for you listeners out there, also, you can download the first chapter of Choices by going to Tatiana Andrusov on Amazon and under the book title Choices. Thank you.
Thank you.